6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything they were trying to do to you. It'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce. Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth from one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This next guest is a returning guest, and he wants to remain anonymous, as he did the last time he was on. You can refer back to his time he was on the podcast. His episode is Do You Remember That Doll? That was his other episode. So in this one, we talk about an instance that happened in his life where a sweat lodge that his dad had erected and had rights to and he used to run was desecrated, basically torn down after he had passed, and it was kind of done in a bad way, and the things that happened after that took place is a pretty harrowing story and experience that his family had experienced afterwards. And you know, you can't fool with things like that. You shouldn't ever bother those. And if you never know what to do when it comes to these sacred things, you ask. You ask somebody, or you tell them what's going on. You know, this is happening. Can you help me? Can you give me direction? Whatever it is, like if you wanted that removed, ask about how to go about doing something like that. Most likely they'll tell you, just leave it there and let the earth take it back. You know, but you ask somebody what to do with things like that. And the story you're about to hear, these series of stories in this podcast, this episode you're about to hear, are a huge result of what could happen when things like that go down. You know, it's really a crazy thing that you were going to do and experience if that happens. So, toward the end of the podcast, though, we start talking more about, you know, when people pass, and it's kind of some experiences around that, about, you know, people passing away and different things. But you'll get into that. I don't want to give too much of that away. It's a good lesson. So let's get into the show.
Back in like 85, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
I was about, I would guess about 8 or 9 years old. Well, it might have been earlier than that. It must have been about 83, 84. But it was a few years after my dad passed away.
Yeah.
And so I have an older half sibling. Well, I have a few older half siblings. And one of them, he just a knothead, you know, all the way around, you know. And but one of the things that he always did is he was very stubborn. And it must just run in the family, you know, because they're all stubborn. But he was one of the ones that doesn't use a lot of common sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's saying a lot about, you know, him, because my other siblings are about the same way, you know. But my dad, when he was alive, you know, he would sweat and he would do different things, ceremonial wise and stuff like that. And so when he passed away, you know, his sweat was still up. It was uncovered and everything. But one of the things that we were always told when we were growing up was that, you know, sweats and stuff like that, you always leave them, you know, alone after the person passes away. You don't touch them. You don't try to use them. You don't do anything with them. You just let them, you know, basically disintegrate and go back to the earth, you know?
Yeah.
And so my half-sibling, my brother, he came out to stay with us. He lived out in, at that time, I believe, Portland, Oregon. And he would come out and he would stay and, you know, just periodically. And so he came out and he started messing around down at my dad's sweat. And my mom told him, don't be messing with your dad's stuff. You leave it alone. And he just, you know, didn't pay no attention, you know, like an idiot. And he went down there and he cut it all up.
Oh.
And my mom was really mad at him. She told him, she said, you dumb, you know, MF.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, you can't be messing with things. Do you not understand that? But you got to understand with him, he didn't grow up on the reservation. My house siblings never did. I mean, they grew up on reservations, but different ones. But with us, in particular, Blackfeet, we're very, you know, and you know this, very staunch on how we do things, you know, very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody tells you don't do that because of this, you don't do it. So anyways, he cut it down, and a few weeks later, he left, and he ended up over in New York City. It's a little side note on this, but my mom told him, you're going to end up having some bad luck because of that. And when he left, he ended up over in New York City just a few months later, and he ended up getting his head bashed in.
Oh.
And got his eye knocked out. He lived, you know, that's the one good thing about our family. We have hard heads. he lived, but he lost his eye. Anyway, you know, going back to, you know, us on the res, after he did that, weird things start happening. Like, first it started out as little sounds at nighttime, you know, and I told you a little bit about my house before and some of the stuff that was going on in there. Well, this was kind of, I think, in my mind, it was the event that, you know, like the zero patient event, you know, and so little things start happening, you know, like sounds and stuff. It started out like banging at night.
Yeah.
You ever hear concrete with like when somebody's busting up concrete with like say a sledgehammer?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that, right? It's kind of like that ting ting, you know, and it's pretty loud. Anyway, so it started out like that, where it was this hammer, metal hammer, it sounded like, on concrete. And it would always happen at nighttime. And it would ting, 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 like somebody was trying to bust something. And, you know, we didn't know what to make of it. My mom didn't know what to make of it, you know. We was just, you know, my mom was very devout and praying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would just pray, you know, and this just kept happening. And then little events start happening, you know, and I told you a little bit before about, you know, her seeing that thing come out of my sister's room and, you know, just to refresh everybody, you know, it's kind of like a big yellow-eyed green creature, you know, you know, kind of picture the Black Lagoon, that the creature from the Black Lagoon kind of, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Anyway, so those things start happening here and there, you know. And the one thing about my family, and you know this from being around us, you know, we always welcomed everybody into our home. We always had relatives staying with us. And, you know, and for the most part, all my cousins, you know, when they would stay with us, you know, they didn't drink or anything like that or do drugs at the house. You know, they knew better because my mom would come unglued on them, you know. But, you know, she was, you know, so they respected her, and they especially respected my dad, you know. So when they would stay, they would just hang out and visit and, you know, and the typical teenagers joke around and have fun. And so, you know, they'd do this all the time. You know, we'd have cousins that would come out, and because of how our hills and where our house is at, they would run the hills out there, you know, because a few of them were athletes, you know, they country, cross-country athletes and basketball players and stuff like that, because my dad was really into sports, you know, so he was really encouraged people to do that stuff, you know, to stay in shape and, you know, just, you know, make a good life for themselves. So, you know, a lot of my cousins were very athletic. Anyway, so... So also, you know, we hear this all the time, this hammering and stuff, and it just went on for what seemed like months and months. And pretty soon it stopped, right? It just stopped one day, stopped doing that. So we kind of just assume, well, whatever the heck it was, is, you know, it went away or it left. But after that stopped, then even more stuff start happening. You'd have people crying outside. I told you a little bit about how the house one night tried to suck my sister out the window.
Yeah.
And all this weird stuff start happening. We had, you know, things that would just show up. And, you know, best way to describe it is it was just, you know, so much going on that it was just weird. You'd see apparitions. There was these three apparitions that would walk by the house every night and literally go to this pile of rocks, and they would stand there and vanish. And it was like they didn't even know we were there. And so, like, my sister and my cousin, they both followed them, actually, which, you know, kind of stupid, you know, but also, you know, they wanted to see what the heck was going on. Those three spirits or apparitions didn't pay them no attention, you know, they literally followed them to that pile of rocks in the middle of the night. I'm like, you guys are nuts. And, but they would do that. And then, so one night, All my cousins were there. Was like, let's see, one. So there was about 8 to 10 people in the house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hanging out like, you know, like normal, just doing their thing, joking around. They had some food, you know, like I think they got some pizzas and just pop and stuff and chips, you know, typical Brez meal, you know.
Yeah.
And hanging out in the house, and somebody noticed these two apparitions standing down by where my dad's sweat was. And they were clothed all in like traditional clothing, you know, but it was like a glowing buckskin, like a white buckskin, but it was glowing, you know. And one of my cousins, he passed away now, but he was really not hitting, you know, thought he was, you know, just this tough guy and all this stuff. Him and my other cousin decided they wanted to go down there. Because see, at that time, I believe my mom's back was out again, you know, because she'd always had problems with her back. And so they're telling her about this, you know, that there's these two apparitions down by where dad's sweat was. And she told him, you don't go down there. Don't, you know, you don't even bother with it. And so, but, you know, teenagers being teenagers, they headed down there, and it was those two, well, that was like those two cousins plus my sister. Oh, no, my sister stayed in the house plus my other cousin. And I want to say one other cousin. So there was like four or five of them that went down there to confront this two apparitions. So they go down there, and from what my cousin said, the one that, you know, went with them, and I won't say who she was, but she said that my cousin, he picked up this pipe, metal pipe that was laying down there on the ground, because my dad, you know, he's kind of a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense. And so he had, like, you know, things laying around, like pipes, you know, plumbing stuff and whatever it was he was working on at the time. And so he grabbed this little bar. My cousin grabbed this little bar, and he went down there, and he was telling these two apparitions that they weren't welcome there and all this stuff, you know, that they needed to leave. And they kept, you know, he kept doing that, and these two apparitions just stood there and stared at him. And the male apparition, he had like a stick, like a glowing stick. It looked painted, according to my cousin, and it was like glowing. And, you know, this is weird stuff, you know. It's almost like if nobody had seen it, they'd be like, oh man, you know, it sounds like, you know, some sci-fi stuff going on here, you know. This is really weird stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And so he takes this metal pipe, because these things are just looking at him like, we don't care what you say, we're staying right here. And he raised that pipe, my cousin raised that pipe to hit this spirit. And when he went to hit that spirit with this pipe, that spirit just raised that stick in front of, you know, his swing, and cut that pipe in half with that stick.
Whoa.
And and it's like, then he turned, that spirit walked around him, and it was like they froze, according to my other cousin. She said they just froze in place, and he went behind them, and he just tapped them on the back of the knee, both of them, with that stick, and they dropped, the two cousins that were trying to act tough, you know.
Yeah.
It was a male and female cousin. And, you know, and of course I'm not going to tell their names, because one's dead, of course. The other one, she doesn't like to even think about or talk about it. She's a very devoted, I don't know, Christian or Lutheran or something, but she does not even, you know, she won't even, it freaks her out too much. And I think that's why she gravitated away from Indian ways, you know. Mainly because it scared her too much. Anyway, so it taps him on, you know, this spirit taps him on the back of knees, and they just dropped. And my other cousin took off running back up towards the house. And, you know, this is at nighttime. You know, and so the house wasn't, you know, maybe, oh, no, 150 feet away. So she went running back up there. Didn't know what to do. And so the other cousin said, well, you need to go back down and get him. You know, because, of course, none of them wanted to go. And so my cousin, who was in the house, she got brave. She's like, I'll go get him. And she went out and she went down there. And they were still there on their knees. And so she basically grabbed them by the collars and dragged them up. And when they got to the house, they weren't themselves. They were basically, and I seen them, you know, they didn't look like themselves. They had this different look in their faces. And it's hard to describe, but they just didn't look like them. And so then they start saying to my sister that those spirits wanted her down there. They wanted her. They just kept repeating that. And my sister's like, no. And they were literally like trying to drag her down there, and everybody stopped them. And this, you know, this is all going on. And all of a sudden, you know, because my mom, you know, like I said, my mom's back was bad. And she called on her CB radio about what was going on. And some trucker way, I don't know where, you know, because back then everybody had, you know, a CB radio of some kind. Mm-hmm. Base station, whatever. And so he actually called the cops in Brown, and they come racing out. And they were chasing something through there, too. So they come racing out, too, at the same time. And they come racing up, and they pulled into the driveway, and they went running in, and they told everybody. Because we literally, my cousin grabbed me and my brother, and, you know, we're, like, at that time, 7 or 8 years old, you know. Mm-hmm. And grabbed us, and we were in my dad's bathroom, you know, their master bathroom. We were in there hiding. And I remember my cousin, she was just praying hard and crying. And so when they got there, they basically cleared the house, and they said, you know, you guys need to leave. We're chasing something out here too. We don't know what it is, but it's been terrorizing all the way up through this coulee, terrorizing people, and now it's out here. And so we all hopped in and headed towards town. And at that time, my cousins, the two that were, you know, really goofy acting and seeming like they weren't who they were, they were like, you know, yelling and saying, we need to go back and all this stuff. And we get them to the hospital because that's the only thing we could think of, you know, get them to the hospital. And on the way, it was really, you know, crazy because my mother, she called my aunt and one of my cousins, you know, because that was one of her nieces. She come racing over, and it was like they died. Like they passed out, but they didn't have a heartbeat or anything. And when my cousins came, their parents, her mother grabbed her and said something like, you're not taking her, or something like that. And when she did that, she come back too. And same with my other cousin. And so they get him into the hospital, right? And my cousin, he weighed about, at that time, he probably weighed about, oh, I'd say maybe 160 pounds soaking wet. Mm-hmm. He was a skinny guy, but he was tall, you know? But he was tiny, you know, skinny. And so he's like fighting all the nurses and doctors, and cops happened to, you know, came with us too. And they were trying to hold him down. And now you got to remember, these cops that were holding him down, you know, they were full grown men that weighed like 260, you know, 250. These guys were big cops, you know? Yeah. And so they're trying to hold down this little skinny guy. And he was literally throwing them like they were matchsticks, you know, just, and people didn't know what to do. So they called And same with my cousin, the female, she was doing the same thing. They couldn't hook him, tie him to the bed. And so they didn't know what to do, so they called the Catholic priest. And so the Catholic priest came up and he went in there and he started trying to anoint them. And, pray with them and blah, blah, blah. And they were screaming at burns and all this stuff. And he put a wreath on them, on their chest.
Yeah.
And they were screaming, they couldn't breathe and, all this stuff. And in the meantime, they're still throwing these cops around. And so my mom and my dad were really good friends with a couple medicine people up there, and you'd know who they were. They were keepers of some pretty powerful medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So she called them and she said, I need you guys to come up here. There's something going on here and I don't know what it is. So they came up, and as soon as they walked into the room, both my cousins just settled down. And they went over there and they, used their medicine and smudged them or whatever they did. And it was just like they went out. They just passed out. Slept for 4 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't wake up for 4 days. And when they woke up, they didn't remember anything that happened. All they remember is seeing those spirits going down there. And that spirit, my cousin, trying to hit it with that, and that's all he remembers. The other cousin that dragged him back up, she said, I didn't see nothing down there. And this, she said this for years. And then finally, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to her. As we were talking about this, what happened that night, because whatever that thing, what those spirits were, they, for whatever reason, they wanted my sister. They didn't want anybody else in that house. They wanted her specifically. And she didn't want to go down there. And, on my dad's side, the women tend to have a lot of medicine, They have, bundles, they're holy women, they sit holy and a lot of things. Not anymore, of course, as much as they used to. Which is sad because that's, that side of the family really, especially the women really were involved in that stuff, ceremonial life. And up until my dad died, my sister was the same way. She would go and hang out with him and say, her and my mom and stuff, and they would go to these ceremonies all the time. But after, of course, dad died, she lost her taste for it, and I think it was just painful for her because she didn't want to, remind her too much of my dad. And anyway, so after they woke up these four days later, they didn't remember anything. They said they didn't remember how they got there or anything like that. Whatever they were chasing out there scared the hell out of the cops because they didn't want to, chase it. And whatever those spirits were, they were not too happy with anything, And for years later, those two cousins claimed that whenever they would look in the mirror, their face would be twisted. But it was only when they didn't see, when nobody was around them, they could only see it when they were by themselves. Now people say, that's convenient, No, I believe they were. So my cousin, getting back to her, the one that dragged them up, years down the road, she claimed she'd never seen nothing. And then finally one day we were talking. We were at a ceremony, of course, a Sundance, and we were hanging out and just chatting about different things,
Mm-hmm.
And I got curious and I asked her, I said, what did you see down there when you went down there? I said, did you really not see anything? And she kind of got quiet. And she said, I did see. She said, but I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want to cause a panic. She said, I figured by just keeping my mouth shut, that would be, better for everybody because everybody was so freaked out. They were so scared.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, all these things were happening all the time out to that house. You know, it was like every day. It wasn't, you know, I hear something every now and then. It was almost all the time. And so she said, you know, I seen those two spirits, that mate, that man and that woman, and they were standing there and they just looked at me, she said. They didn't say nothing. I didn't interact with them. I just grabbed our two cousins and I pulled them up there. And, you know, and she's a little tiny gal, but she pulled them up there like they were, you know, just because, you know, she's strong. And she just pulled them up there because she said, I didn't want to stand there and try to figure out what the hell was going on. I just figured I gotta get them out of here. I don't know what's going on here, but we gotta get out of here. So going back to my brother, my half brother, one of my relatives, he come down from Canada and he blessed the land out there. And when he was doing it, the spirit kept opening the front doors broad daylight and he was making food for them. And then he went out and he put offerings out and he was singing. When he started singing, you could hear all these people singing in the back. It was just him and his helper. And, but he told us, he said when he cut that sweat down, he unleashed that. He said that banging you heard, in the middle of the night, that was those bad ones trying to get in. He said what they were doing is, he said, when you sweat, I don't know, you know, if this is, you know, something that, but basically you create a shield over your home.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, things that are, you know, bad and stuff can't get in. You know, that's not the whole thing, but I don't want to share all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, that banging was them hitting that. You know, like hitting it and then trying to just kept hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And they finally broke it enough that they could get in.
Hmm.
And so those things, those weird things, those events and all that start happening because they, you know, they wanted to make it happen, you know. My dad, when he was alive, he would feed them. And that's kind of what kept them at bay, you know. Because that land there is so haunted. That, whatever happened there, and I heard all kinds of different theories, but one of the theories I heard, which kind of seems like the right one, is that it was an old battleground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear always, oh, it's an Indian burial ground. Well, it's not, I don't think. I think something really bad happened there, like a fight or something, and a lot of anger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was in there, because, you know, that event was kind of like the apex of all of it. And, you know, I'm leaving out probably kind of bigger portions of it. But those kind of things, even years down the road when my sister moved back there, start happening again. You know, they start, and you know, they started to, you know, start ramping back up, you know, little things like voices. And my sister was, you know, living out there. And one day she said, you know, she kept hearing whispering, her and her husband, and they wandered all over the house, or their house at the time, looking for this whispering. They couldn't find it, so they just gave up. And so my brother-in-law, he laid down on the couch and he was watching TV. And then he just got really still and quiet. He tells my sister, hey, come here, you know. And so she come over and said, what? He said, listen, listen. You can still hear that whisper.
Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program, available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
So they were listening, and pretty soon they said, well, where's it coming from? You know, it's it sounds like it's coming from the couch. And he said, I think it's coming from where my head is. So she said that they both listened to that couch, and it was whispering from that couch, specifically a pillow he was laying on. Oh. And so she picked that pillow up, and she was listening. That pillow was whispering to her. So I told her, I said, well, what did you do? She said, I just picked it up, took it out to the trash can, and threw it away. And, you know, and so it's like things like that. And I told you about me and my brother. I don't know if I told you about getting chased by, like, her dolls and stuff, right?
Yeah, you mentioned that one once on the podcast.
Yeah, and so it's things like that, that whatever happened out there, whatever it is that you know, is tied to that land, is either really angry or really upset about something, you know? And so, and it's basically that section. It's not any other parts of that land. I'm sure that the other parts might have stuff going on. And if you stayed there long enough, you'd probably have some weird stuff start happening, you know. I've had people say, well, we should have ceremonies out there. And I'm like, maybe not. Not because I don't want ceremonies out here, but I don't know. I don't want to be responsible for whatever goes on out here either, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, my cousin, you know, we talked about that, and she said, yeah, they were there. She said, I just didn't want to scare people. And then I have another cousin, you know, that she also seen stuff out there that was, you know, very tied into that right after that event. I remember I had a dream one night. And I could see this, like, black shadow. Like, best way to put it is, like, you ever see the Fry Guys on McDonald's commercials? Do you mm-hmm. remember those guys?
Yeah.
How they were all squiggly?
Yeah.
And they had tennis shoes on or whatever. But I dreamt about something like that, but it was solid black with red eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it scared the hell out of me. And, I didn't think much of it, but it was so vivid. And so, because me and my brother, we didn't like being there by ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I remember dreaming that. And, you know, and I'm sitting there one day, and I was visiting one of my other cousins. And I was telling her about that, because she used to come and stay with her and her kids every now and then with my mom, you know, because that was her other niece. And I was telling her about this, and she's just looking at me like kind of crazy, you know? And I'm like, you know, I'm telling her about this dream. And she goes, that's crazy. And I said, why is that? She said, because I went out there one day, she said, and I was going to have coffee with your mom. And I got in there. And, you know, back in those days, nobody ever locked their door, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you showed up, you know, you just went in and sat down.
Yeah.
And if nobody was there, you'd just hang out as long as you wanted to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so she went out there, and I don't know where mom was or any of us, but she went out there, and she said, I just walked in, sat down at the kitchen table, yelled around. And I said, and here's the crazy part that she didn't tell anybody until I told her about that dream. She said, she went in there and she yelled. She said, you know, Auntie, are you here? And in the back room, somebody yelled back, yeah, I'm back here. I'll be in. So she said, I just need a cup of coffee because there was coffee on. And I sat down, waited, drinking my coffee. She said, pretty soon I thought, geez, they're taking long, you know? So she said, I got up out of my chair and I said, okay, well, I'm going to go see what the heck they're doing. And she went walking back and went in every room because our place was a 4-bedroom. Hmm. And you see, yeah, 1, 2, 3. Yep, 4-bedroom place. So she went in there and she looked in every room. Nobody in anywhere. And so she just walked back in to the kitchen, drank her coffee, put it in the sink, and walked out. Because in her mind, she said, if you show fear, that's when they'll screw with you. And so she just simply grabbed her stuff and walked out the front door, closed it, got in her car. And as she was driving away, she said, this is where, you know, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want to scare you guys either. She said, I turned around for whatever reason and I looked back at your guys' house, you know, and in the kitchen window, which was, you know, a pretty good size window, it wasn't huge, but it was big enough. There was this thing that was all hairy, straggly looking. And it had red glowing eyes and it was looking out that window at her. So she said, I just simply turned and headed out as fast as I could. And I just got shivers up my back. I was like, oh my God, because in my dream, that's where I saw it, looking out the kitchen window at me. And so I dream about that house every now and then. And in those dreams, I'll see things like that. And, you know, and I don't think it, you know, I don't think any of that stuff was tied to the house.
Mm-hmm.
It was tied to the land. Because that house got moved years down the road. Nothing ever happened in it again, but we all remember that house. And so, like I said, whatever's out there, you know, it wanted my sister for whatever reason. That could be the reason it pulled her out the window one night. You know, and just all this other crazy stuff that would go on, you know. And it always centered around kind of my sister. It never really bothered me and my brother. Besides, you know, that little doll thing that I told you about, you know, that Raggedy Ann doll, which was, you know, scary stuff because, it, you know, I thought I made it up in my mind all those years and my brother confirmed it and said, no, that was real, you know. So I don't know, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, depending on how you do things, I guess in this way, you have to be really mindful of what you do. You know, there's a lot of people out there that they, you know, I want to sound preachy, but you know, they want to learn this stuff. They want to carry it. You know, they want to have, you know, different medicines and rights to different things and all this stuff, but they don't know the consequences behind it. Because every time you get a right to something to do, you know, that's passed to you from whoever, there's a balance to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this balance of, I wouldn't say good versus evil, but negative versus positive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously there's spirits out there that are more about, you know, let's disrupt these people's lives, or we want something that's bad, you know? And then you have the light side of it that, you know, is trying to keep that balance, but there's a balance. So every time you get a right to something or be able to do something like a sweat, there's things on the other side of it that you have to pay attention to, you know?
Hmm.
But, you know, that was just one, you know, thing that was, that really sticks out in my mind as really scary. Because, you know, possession, things like that, that's something, you know, we hear about in movies or we read about, or people want to say, well, just a mentally unstable person, you know, and, or a mass hysteria. That's my favorite word, you know, mass hysteria. And it's like, no, it's not mass hysteria. If you see it in person, there's a whole different ball game going on there, you know? I've been to sweat lodges that they've taken things off people, mm-hmm. you know? That were really wicked and scary. But see, that's the other thing. People don't realize that, like, you're playing with things that you have to slowly learn, you know? So, like, a lot of people out there, you know, they see Native American stuff and they start trying to use like sage in their homes. You see freaking TikTok videos and things like that. where to, oh, I'm going to burn some sage. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you don't know how to use it, you're actually contributing to the problem. Then you are solving the problem. The other thing that I always tell people too is, you know, they'll ask me, well, what do you think, you know, what can I do to have this stuff stop happening? And I'm sure you've told people, well, you gotta stop doing the stuff that you're doing, you know, drinking or doing drugs, allowing that stuff to come into your home. Because you're calling it in, you know, you can use all the smudge in the world, but if you don't clean up your act, you're just bringing them in. You know, you might be good for maybe a couple days, maybe a week, hell, even a month. But as soon as you start back on that road that you just came off of, you're bringing them right back in.
Even fighting, you know, arguing with each other, getting in, you know, hard thoughts against each other, that brings it back. Geez, even just having a dirty house, you know, that they can be attracted to that too. There's a lot of things that people do. I don't think they realize that they're inviting something in, you know, because it's so, it doesn't seem like it means a lot, but it really does. You know, and you know, my auntie who I'm referring to here, she used to always get on us as kids. You guys make sure and keep this place clean. She was always preaching that to us. Make sure it's clean because, you know, those bad ones are attracted to this. Don't let it get, you know, dirty. She kind of drilled that point home with that one area of it anyways.
Yeah. You know, and she was right on the head with that because that's, It's about the chaos, you know, those negative spirits, they like chaos, you know, they like to see a person fall because that's how they get in. That's how they get their agenda going, you know? You know, it's amazing, you know, how, people don't realize that, you know, that this chaos and all this stuff that they create in their own lives is what's causing a lot of their stuff. You know, I'm a skeptical person, when it comes to like spirits and things like that, not because I don't believe in them, but I also believe that not everything that happens to you is spirits, you know, like I'm sure you've run into people that say, somebody used medicine on me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you don't even know what that is. And then you kind of investigate into their background and, you know, what they've been saying and blah, blah. Oh, this happened to me and I know somebody's used medicine, blah, blah, blah. And you realize that, no, they're creating that themselves. You know, they, you know, you remember that kind of slapping medicine man thing?
Yeah.
When that guy is saying, I don't know why everybody walks away from me when I show up, you know, and he goes, well, are you talking crap? And that guy goes, well, I gossip every now and then, and he gets slapped in the face. He says, well, knock it off. That's basically what that is. You know, it's basically the same thing where, just because you're having a run of bad luck, which a lot of times that's what you are doing to yourself. When medicine hits you, real medicine, it's fast and it's wicked. You know, it's not this, oh, you know, I stubbed my toe or, oh, I lost my job. You know, it's almost like it happens in so fast that by the time you figure it out, it's like everything around you has just crashed. You know, we all have bad days and things like that. But when it's really obvious, you know, it's a very obvious thing. It's not, this little tiny little things like 1 month, maybe you lost your job. And then next month, oh, you lost the keys to your car, or you lost your clothes, you know, or maybe the month after that, you lost your house because you weren't paying your mortgage, you know, things like that. You know, that's normal life. But when it all happens at once, where, you know, all these people that you're close to start dying around you, you know, like sometimes that's just a run of bad luck. But other times it's pretty obvious because medicine doesn't work the way people think it works. It takes away everything you love in your life. Everything. And it happens very fast. It doesn't take you away. It takes everything away from you. And that's the scary part that people don't understand. Anyway, that's, you know, so I'm always like when people tell me that stuff, I listen, you know, and I, of course, you know, if I really feel like it's something, you know, that, you know, I can help with, I'll try to help, you know? Mm-hmm. But if it's something that I don't think I can help with, I always say, okay, well, go see this person, you know?
Yeah.
And see if they can help you. It's just so interesting though, but things like that, like my brother doing that to my dad's sweat, you know, he got his comeuppance after that and it happened fast. Was it medicine? I don't know, but it seemed like a very strange thing, you know? And at the same time, after he had done that, that's when everything started happening. You know, it started out with little tiny stuff, you know, hearing things at night that pound and things walking up and down the hall, you know, people crying outside, growling, things like that. And, you know, of course, the non-Indian worlds are demons and stuff like that. I don't think they're demons. I just think they're pissed about something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because something, you know, maybe something was taken. Well, most likely something was taken from them. Maybe their lives or something, you know, that they didn't feel was right. And, you know, in the Indian world, we're all about taking care of those spirits. You know, people, you know, when people die in the Western world, they just die, you know. They don't, you know, in some cases, they think of them like distant memories. Like, you know, now that this person's dead, we're not going to ever talk about them and we're never going to, yeah. I mean, not all the time, but, you know, we don't have closure for them in a sense. You know, they don't have closure. They don't, you know, put things out for them. They don't pray to them. I mean, you know, at least the people I've run into, you know, I have a few non-Indian friends that are really good about, you know, still praying to their, you know, their relatives and ancestors that have left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. I really do, because it helps not only with the closure you need in you, but it also in our world, we believe that by, you know, doing things like that and giving offerings and stuff like that and remembering them, that we're helping them on that side as they're helping us on this side. I mean, if that makes sense. Well, I'm sure it makes sense to you, you know?
Yeah, they... What's more, too, is they really like it when you tell funny stories about them. When everybody's laughing and having a good time and remembering them in a good way. They really like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That makes you know, them happy.
Well, and I think, you know, it's like, you know, I think that you're right about that is because it's like they know you still care about them. And, but also just it brings that mood up, you know, it brings up that positive stuff that they left for you too, you know, cause of course everybody has negative stuff too that they, had with these individuals and stuff like that. But, you know, forgiving them. And moving forward is important too, you know. Anyway, that's just, you know, that's kind of how I think about a lot of this stuff. You know, I was telling you the other day about thinking about some of the people I met, you know, in my life that showed me different things and taught me different things. And, you know, I'm laying in bed thinking about these people and about some of the stuff they were telling me about how, you know, as people, and you know, on the conversation between me and you, I won't go into it because I don't think people should know a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had somebody come sit on my bed And you know, I'm wide awake when it happens. And scared the heck out of me, you know, because I thought, what the heck is this? And I flipped around thinking it was, you know, a significant other, you know, snuck in on me somehow. And where they sat, it was still dipped. I literally put my hand there, you know, feeling that dip in that mattress. And I'm like, wow. And I thought, well, so I'm telling the lady, I'm like, what do you, you know, she says, what do you want, some smudge? And I'm like, nah, we're all right. But, you know, like you brought up, who is that, you know? Because I'm thinking about these different people that are more important parts of my life and my upbringing, you know. Was that person coming and checking on me and just saying, hey, you know, are you okay? Or, you know, I'm here with you. After the old man passed on, I remember him telling me a story, and I don't know if I told you this or not, but years ago when he was still here, he told me there's a spirit that comes and comforts you sometimes when you're really down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a female spirit, and she's just full of love. And he said, when something's taken from you, a person especially in your life that was really important to you, she'll come and comfort you. And so when he passed away, I really had a hard time with it. You know, I cried and really just, you know, having him, you know, because my dad passed on and he was, you know, my surrogate dad. And my heart was just torn apart, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you honestly, I don't, you know, it's not that I don't love my friends and my brothers, you know, the ones that become brothers to me. I love them all, you know. And I don't, it's not that I don't cry for them. I just, you know, it's just like it comes out a different way for me. You know, some people cry, some don't. But there's only a few people I've cried for in my life, you know. And he was one of them. And so I'm thinking about his story that he told me, you know. I go home. I was living, you know, a duplex apartment. And, you know, it was like 5 days of funeral services and, you know, getting up at the crack of dawn to sing and all this stuff. And so when I got home, I was just dead, you know, just completely drained of, you know, any energy. So I walked into my little apartment and there was this little futon, you know, those college futons that everybody had, you know, mm-hmm. that fold out into a bed. So I go in and I didn't even unpack my stuff. I just left everything in the car and I go in and I just lay on that futon and just passed out. And about, oh, I don't know, probably about 3-4 in the morning, I just woke up, like just like me talking to you right now. I just woke up. And when I woke up, I could just sense that somebody was there. And it was like two people held me down on that futon. And you know, like when somebody's holding you down, you're going to get pressed down, right?
Yeah.
So like when they pressed me down in that futon, I mean, literally pressed me down. I felt myself sink into it. They were holding me. And this other spirit came in. And it was that woman spirit. I know it was, because I could see, you know, hard to describe, but I could see her in my mind's eye. And she was just beautiful and all bathed in like white. Hmm. And she like came over and like just put like light into my back. And it was just like all this dark grayish light came out the front of me onto the floor. And it was just like when she did that, it just, within seconds, I just sat up because they let go of me, and I sat up real fast thinking, I'm going to catch whoever this is, you know, at first, because it startled me, you know. And I look around, nobody in there. They were already gone. And there was so much energy in me, so much like peace and just like balance, you know, in me.
Ooh.
And just like, I just felt like a different person sitting there. And, you know, mind you, it's 4 a.m. I'm like, what just happened? You know? And I don't know who I talked to later about that, but they said it was most likely them taking that grief off you, you know?
Yeah.
And trying to give you some solace that, you know, you're going to be okay. And, just makes me, you know, sad and happy at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because things like that, you know, we have all these little things we're told growing up in the Indian way and stuff that, we don't know about until it happens to us. I mean, we know about, but we don't know it. And so when that happens, it's really an interesting thing that happens, you know, because then you're like, wow, you know, so-and-so told me this, and now it happened to me. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of stuff happen, but it's such a eye-opening moment. I've had, you know, in that same little house, just a little side note, but one time I'm laying there on the futon, sleeping, and I heard my name get called out. And it was loud, broad daylight, because I worked at nights. And so I'm trying to sleep during the day, and I hear this, somebody yell my name, just loud. And I open my eyes, and these two shadow, or the shadow come running across the room at me. And it had its hand up, like it had like a weapon in its hand.
Yeah.
And I automatically put my arms up in front of my face because I thought they were aiming for my face, you know? And I swear, I thought it was somebody with an axe. And, you know, it was so quick. And I put my arms up to stop it. You know, I thought, oh, God, you know, somebody broke in and they're attacking me. And when I put my hands up, nothing happened. So I put my hands down and there was nobody there. So I called, you know, somebody up. We both know. And I said, hey, man, what do you think about this? He's okay. Well, you need to do this and this and this. So I did. And it was just like the house lit up after I did what he said, you know. He said, I don't know who it is, but he said they were just trying to, trying to hurt you somehow.
Yeah.
And you know, and sometimes you know, they'll try to do that stuff. And you just gotta chase them out. And so he said, you know, also he said, there's a lot of people down that way where you're living that mess around with medicine. And they try to hurt people. And sometimes if you're, you know, in the wrong spot at the wrong time, you're going to get hit. And that wasn't the first time something like that happened to me. I had, you know, rattles, right?
Yeah.
I remember hearing one coming from far off, and it went right through where I was sitting, and I ducked. I literally ducked because it went right by my ear. And it was just like... like that. And I literally ducked. And I heard it keep continuing. I was telling my adopted brother about that. And he said, yep. He said, yeah. Somebody was fighting somebody else, you know. And you just missed, but, you know, it's a good thing you ducked. He said, because if it hit you, you might have got hurt really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And see, people don't believe you when you tell that stuff to them, you know?
Yeah.
And then when it happens to you, then it's like, yeah, you know? there's a whole different world that we come from that is just hard to describe to people.
So we'll continue our discussion about all of this in the next episode. And as usual, I would like to thank you all for being here and listening to the show, sharing it where you can. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people that have started tuning into the show since the beginning of it. And I really appreciate everybody coming. And I always say this, and I can't say it enough, you know, showing the appreciation for everybody being here and being a paid member over on Patreon and getting the members-only episodes. Speaking of which, the second part of our conversation is going to be a patron members-only episode. And if you don't know how to do that, you go to patreon.com and you find Lodge Tales. You search for the podcast Lodge Tales. And once you do, you come on that page and there's some options to become a member. It's $5 a month. You gotta kind of enter your card info and stuff. And yeah, that's how you can listen to it. The members only episodes. And I try to reserve the best content for the members only. So I feel that our second part of this conversation is really good. And, you know, or else I would have flip-flopped the episodes. I would have put this one in the members only. But not to take any away from this episode, it's a good one too. But that's kind of where we're at with these two episodes that we have for this month. And more is going to follow, you know. So, yeah, stay tuned for that and join us over on Patreon for the rest of it. And to all the people overseas in the United States, Canada, you know, down south of the border, all y'all, I really appreciate y'all listening. And it's a fun thing that we, for me, to do this, to get to sit and listen to all these stories and share stories back, some of my own. You know, I really enjoy doing it. So I'm just thankful that you guys are along for the ride, and I hope y'all continue to support the show and be there with us for this journey. All right, thank you, and till next time.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.